What a time to be alive. I'm telling you, what a time to be alive. Whew. The fulfillment of prophecies being unfolded before our eyes. The war with Iran. Nations coming together and against Iran. And trying to rescue the people. The regimes of righteousness Iran are overthrowing the police departments there right now. So we see things are definitely happening. I think we have half of our military in the outskirts of the Iranian Ocean and everything else over there. But they've done over 900 attacks already. 900. Can you imagine 900 missiles and bombs have already been released? And they're going to continue on for probably the rest of this coming week. Until that regime is totally demolished or surrendered. So they no longer turn their guns on civilians. And they rescue those who've been jailed unlawfully. What we are in a time of judgment, one of the things that God's judgment brings is reality. When God releases judgment, it's not only against the wicked, but in the judgment of exposing, it is bringing reality. And what is reality? Well, what's real? You know, what's real? You know, we have a tendency to a saying, make it real. And we are in a time right now because God is the God of reality. He is the God of reality. He is real. Amen. Go to John chapter 1, verse 1. Hallelujah. So we're seeing all the things that are happening right now. It's not only to expose false reality, lies, and fraud, but to bring reality of truth. Everything that you're seeing globally right now is the God of reality is invading all places that have come against his true reality. We might say, what took you so long? What's been going on? You know, we have a carnal reasoning that just can't comprehend what God's purpose. John 1, verse 1. Everybody there? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. And they still don't. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear the witness of the light that all through him might believe or might follow the truth. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is where God, the God of reality, what does he do? He reveals himself as the God of reality. That's what this whole scripture is about. He reveals himself as the God of reality. And Exodus 3, verse 14. God of reality. Exodus 3:14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Well, Moses wanted to know, I mean, who am I going to say sent me? What's your name? But here God, the I am who am I, who I am, is expressing his existence. He is here now, the God of existence. God of reality reveals himself as the God of reality. And then he reveals himself as the God of existence, because reality, word that follows reality, is existence. In John 14, verse 6. Hallelujah. And Jesus said to them, what? I am. Again, I am the God of reality, the God of existence. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Again, God reveals himself as the God of life, as a father, as a friend. So we see reality, existence, and life. In John 3:14. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? John 3:14. John 3, verse 14. Is everybody there? And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten of the Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Here we see God is the God of love, the God of reality, the God of existence, the God of life, and the God of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 4. The God of love. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. Love does what? Suffers long, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Again, God's love is expressed as his character. Because God is love, isn't he? Expressed as his character. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Hallelujah. God of reality. Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he what? He purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that he who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Here he is known as the God of purpose. He's releasing his purpose to us. God of reality, God of existence, God of life, God of love, God of purpose. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28, let's speak it. And we know that all things work together to the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. Again, we see this as the God of destiny or future. He's the God of our destiny and future. Is everybody okay? God of destiny and future. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Oh, hallelujah. Let's speak it. Verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Why? Because he is the God of future and hope, isn't he? He's the God of our destiny. He has predestined our destiny. 2 Corinthians 14, verse 17. Hallelujah. What did I say to go? Sorry, that's 1 Corinthians 14. Glory. Again. Freaking didn't do it. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. We got it. We got it. God's going. He's got it. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 14, sorry. And him we give glory. And where is it? Hallelujah. All right, let's go to 17. For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in tongues. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be what? Babes. But in understanding be what? Mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people. And yet for all that they will not hear, says the Lord. Therefore tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for what? Those who what? Believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not think that you are out of your mind? That's why we inform everyone that comes here to expect the tongues. Amen? So it's important that we prepare individuals in every area that's going on. Because God is not the God who just throws you into something and expects you to grab it right away. He's not only God of purpose, but he's the God of understanding. He's the God of what? Understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. So does he know all your needs? He knows everything about you, doesn't he? Second Corinthians chapter 4. Let's see here what we got. And verse 16. Everybody there? Let's speak it. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet in the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He is the God of the seen and the unseen. John chapter 10, verse 15. Glory. Hallelujah. John chapter 10, verse 15. John 10, verse 15. Everybody there yet? Let's speak it. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there'll be one flock and one shepherd. Now that is very powerful. He says he's got another sheep from another fold, or what we call another reality. Why? Because he's the God of all truth, of all realities. Listen, he is a forever God. Ever was, ever is, and always will be. He was around a lot longer than we have been. I don't think he just hung around and created two thumbs and began to twiddle them, thinking, geez, what am I going to do now? I'm bored. No. He's a God of love and existence. He's a God of reality. And he's trying to bring reality to his people that he created. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See, that's something that we have looked forward to. We can look forward to. And all the other realities he's created. Can you imagine all of them being brought together? Hebrews 12, verse 25. Heck, we might see Klingons and everyone else there, you know. You never... Praise God. We might see creatures of creation that we've never thought. Hebrews 12, 25, let's speak it. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving the kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. What's he doing? He's shaking to expose false realities. Why? Because he's the God of true reality. I'm going to close at Revelation 12, verse 7. Simple, quick teaching. Revelation 12, 7. Now we know that he's the God of healing, he's the God of provision, he's the God of everything else. These are one of the things that he wanted me to bring out today so that we are being prepared. We're about to hit something very shortly here, and I'm going to talk about that Tuesday. Hallelujah. 12:7. Everybody there? And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devils and Satan, who does what? Deceives the whole world. Well, if he's deceiving the whole world, he's not bringing true reality, is he? He's bringing a false reality. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell on in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a what? A short time. That's why you're seeing all kinds of stuff. He knows he's got a short time. You know? He knows he's going to jail for 1,000 years. No bail. Then God will let him out to destroy him. Hallelujah. So he is the God of reality. He's the God of justice. Amen. He's the God of judgment. He's the God of truth. He is God and there is no other. He is the only way. And he is the life. And he is the giver of life. He's the God of existence and created all things. And here we are in the back room of a Koi. That he created and predestined, especially from us. So this place used to be filled with demonic activity. Big time. Now it's filled with truth and love and God's presence. Only God can turn things around. And only he can make a way where there seems to be no way. He is the daddy of us all, the father of us all, the comforter of us all, and the lover of us all. And in his presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for your word today in preparation for things to come. And, Lord, we just lift you all of those that have been involved in this war and all the innocent people. Lord, you know, I always wonder, these guys that have been, they had been deceived since childbirth and all these false religions thinking it's okay to kill and persecute and whatever. I know they wake up in hell. But I know you're merciful because they might not know the truth. I don't know if they get another opportunity. I don't know. But only you know, Lord. That's why I pray every day, Lord, rescue those headed to hell. Rescue them that they may know the truth and the truth will set them free. Give them opportunity. Though you've warned them multiple times over and over and over. But Lord, let this day be a day of salvation globally. In the seen and unseen reality, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise God.